A new report shows troubling trends for the future of Wisconsin's workforce as baby boomers retire. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin does not have enough young people to replace retiring baby boomers over the next decade or so, and migration patterns have not shifted for the better. Did you move to Wisconsin from another state or country? What was your reason? What convinced you to come? And what questions do you have about Wisconsin's shifting demographics and what it means for our state's economic future? We're at 800-642-1234. Dale Knapp is a longtime public policy analyst here in Wisconsin. He's director of Forward Analytics. That's a research division of the Wisconsin Counties Association. The study is called Falling Behind Migration Changes and State Workforce. Dale, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Glad to be here this morning.
So policymakers have long been talking about brain drain and brain gain for decades. So with record low unemployment, why do you think migration patterns are really critical to the state's economic future?
Well, this is something that we've actually known for quite a while. When I was at the Taxpayers Alliance, we did several studies of the long-term demographics of the state, and we've known since at least 2003 that with the retirement of the baby boomers, such a large generation and such a big part of the workforce, that we were going to need in order to grow our workforce, we were going to need to improve on our migration. We've known this. And the question was really, how much more migration were we going to need? And sort of this study begins to put that in perspective, in that we're even farther behind than we thought we were, we would be. It's something that we've known. It's now become a very serious issue because the baby boomers are retiring and will continue for the next several years. And the migration patterns, which were expected to turn with the low unemployment and et cetera, doesn't seem like they have. So, we're facing really a critical point in Wisconsin's future here.
Is Wisconsin in this boat alone, or is this a national problem that states are really grappling with?
Well, it's a national problem in that, the baby boom generation, it's a national thing. But some states are dealing with it, or some states are better suited to deal with it. There's a couple of components here. One is that baby boom generation. Two is declining birth rates, which again we're expected to turn, which haven't. And then there is international migration, which has benefited some states, which has benefited Wisconsin to some degree, but obviously not enough. But so we're not in this boat alone, which makes the solutions even more difficult, because we're competing with Iowa, with Illinois, with Minnesota, with Michigan, with other states for a shrinking population in terms of workforce.
Well, we often get compared to Minnesota because we're demographically quite similar. Has Minnesota been experiencing similar workforce issues and migration patterns?
Well, when you look at the big picture in terms of migration, Wisconsin and Minnesota have been very similar. When you look at overall migration patterns, the movement of people has been from the northern parts of the United States, south and west. And Wisconsin and Minnesota have generally held their own. They've not seen quite the outflows that some other states have.
Why might that be?
We're not quite sure, actually. We do think it has something to do with the quality of life. Both states have, very good schools, and so they're good places to raise families. They have a lot of nature, a lot of recreation areas, and so people that, that especially people that have been raised in these couple of states, generally love it here, and so they're not as prone to move as residents from some of these other northern states.
So retention shouldn't be as big of an issue, and yet we still see problems in the trend lines.
Yeah, and the big takeaway from this really is the group of people that historically we've been successful with, and that's young to middle-aged families, those that are in their late 20s through their 40s and early 50s. We've historically been net gainers in that population group, and that offsets we historically have lost college graduates right away, and we tend to lose seniors as they go to Florida and Arizona, but we made up for it in those young families. When you look at what's happened between 2010 and 2015, but when you start looking back, you can see the trends turning actually between 2005 and 10 as well. We're not doing well with those young and middle-aged families. In fact, over the last 5 years that we were able to study, we actually lost overall among that group as well, which is really troubling, because that's been our strength.
Yeah.
And the long-term issue with that is those young families bring with them often children, or when they come here have more children, which is the future workforce.
We're talking with Dale Knapp. He's director of Forward Analytics, and it's a research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association. You can get in this conversation, 800-642-1234. Are you a baby boomer from Gen X or a millennial? What do you think policymakers should be doing to prepare for Wisconsin's economic future? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Dale, how important has migration been to driving our state's economy historically?
Well, when you go back to the 90s, when Wisconsin's economy was very strong, unemployment was comparable to what it is today, migration was really important. And we actually saw relatively large inflows of people during that time. Since about 2000, things have turned. And we've seen net outflows, they've not been large, as I mentioned earlier, but we have seen those outflows. But going forward, we're going to need that. Migration hasn't been critical for Wisconsin. When you look at census data, for example, Wisconsin is one of the top three or top five states in terms of residents who have been born here. So essentially we don't move that much. That's changing some. So migration hasn't been that important. But because of our demography now, it's going to be extremely important going forward.
Wisconsin has seen a steep decline in net migration of families with children, and this could be a problem as baby boomers retire. We're talking about the new study with Dale Knapp. He's director of Forward Analytics. That's a research division of the Wisconsin Counties Association. Your thoughts on this? 800-642-1234. What do you think policymakers should be doing to prepare for our state's economic future? What demographic changes have you seen in your city or neighborhood? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to this in a minute on the Ideas Network. For decades, baby boomers drove our workforce straight across the country, and now as they retire, they're being replaced by millennials, and Wisconsin doesn't have enough millennials. We're talking about broader demographic trends coming down the pike in the next decade on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin lost more than 31,000 older millennials between 2000 and 2015. More than a dozen rural counties in the north experienced a 35% reduction in older millennials. That's according to a new report by the Research Division of the Wisconsin Counties Association. What demographic changes have you seen in your city? Are local businesses thriving because of them or struggling to keep up? What kind of workers do you think Wisconsin should be attracting from other states? We're at 800-642-1234, and Dale Knapp is Director of Forward Analytics. That's the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association, and he stays with us. Let's go to the phones now with Callahan joining us from Viroqua. Hi, Callahan.
Hi.
What's on your mind about this?
Hi, so I recently moved to Wisconsin. I've been here about a year and a half now. I grew up in Maryland. I went to school in New York City, and there I met a man who's from Minnesota. So we moved to Minnesota originally and then found Viroqua, Wisconsin, which is where we live now, and just absolutely love it.
So may I ask, did you come for the job or the setting? How did you end up moving across the border?
Well, now I work for the county, but before I came largely for the setting. So when we were living in New York, we realized we were just not city people. We were like outdoorsy homebodies and weren't really liking the city that much. And so we moved here, and I think both of us kind of felt this weird pressure to be in the city instead of in a place like Wisconsin. I definitely felt the need to be in a big city, go to a big school, and he felt like growing up, since he'd moved from a small town to the city, that it would be, he used to say, like some sort of failing to move back. And then we got over that, and we moved back, and we totally love it, and we do not worry about what the family thinks.
Wow. Dale, what do you hear there as Callahan had lived in the big city of New York and found peace in Viroqua?
Well, you know, I don't know what age she is, but this appears to be kind of the story we're beginning to see, for example, out of millennials. One of the things we saw with millennials is they wanted to, more than prior generations, move to the big cities, you know, move to Chicago, move to New York, et cetera. And there was a real concern that was going to, and it has been a problem for states like Wisconsin, but there is evidence that as millennials age into their late 20s and their 30s, there has been some movement back to the Midwest, to medium-sized communities, even smaller communities, which, if that continues, that bodes well for states like Wisconsin, because, again, Wisconsin is known for good schools, for good outdoor recreation facilities, et cetera. So there's evidence that there are a lot of people like Callahan. We're just hoping, I guess, that trend continues.
Let's go to Rich now in Rhinelander with thoughts on this. Rich, hi.
Good morning. I think what young families or young people in general want are a future economically in terms of good-paying jobs. And I bring up the Foxconn development in Wisconsin, not because I mean to be political, but I'm wondering if the association of counties that this gentleman is talking about discusses at all the apparent desperation in job creation in Wisconsin that a Foxconn deal typifies. If you live in small town Wisconsin, I'll tell you, small town Wisconsin has been hollowed out in terms of the jobs. There are not a lot of opportunities, and young people are looking for diversity and mass transit and inexpensive living situations while they build themselves economically. And that really, to me, explains a great deal of the out-migration trend.
Rich, thanks for the call. What have we seen in smaller communities, Dale, and the impact of migration in rural Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think, you know, Rich is hitting it on the head here in a couple of ways. One is that this is not just Wisconsin. This is nationally. There is this outflow from smaller, especially smaller rural communities to urban and suburban areas. And Wisconsin is seeing that. You had mentioned, you know, early on that, you know, counties in the north saw a 35% reduction in this older millennial population, that the group that's 30 to 35 roughly right now. And so we're seeing that kind of pattern across the country. One of there's real challenges in trying to solve that problem. One of the things that we've talked about for years and years and years in Wisconsin is the broadband infrastructure needs to be significantly improved, particularly in northern Wisconsin. There's a large lack of broadband, and millennials and businesses need that broadband. So one step to beginning to solve that problem is find ways to expand broadband everywhere, you know, across the state.
And Rich brought up Foxconn. We saw the marketing campaign last year to try to bring an influx of workers from the Chicago area, from the Twin Cities area, in anticipation of those 13,000 jobs coming to Mount Pleasant. What do we know about those type of recruitment tactics? And are certain industries feeling more pressure, more exposure than others because of the state's demographic trends?
I'm not sure about industries. Everybody's really feeling feeling workforce challenges with 3% or less unemployment throughout the state. So that's that's a challenge. When you get to, for example, northern Wisconsin, I think the tourism industry is particularly hard hit. And there have been some national studies indicating that the tourism industries are being hard hit by the low unemployment, you know, throughout the country. When you get to Foxconn, there's a lot going on with the Foxconn development down there in Racine County. I will point out that when you look at economic growth in Wisconsin, historically, Southeast Wisconsin was one of the big drivers. Over the last 10 or 15 years, it's actually lagged the rest of the state in terms of job growth, et cetera. And so I do think that one of the driving factors in going after Foxconn was trying to energize southeastern Wisconsin again. And that's, you know, whether that's going to be effective or even cost effective in terms of what we're doing there, that's still a big question.
Remains to be seen.
Yeah, we just don't know.
Dale Knapp, how much migration to Wisconsin is from immigration, people coming into Wisconsin from other countries? Do we know the impact there?
We do to some degree. The Census Bureau puts out some estimates of both domestic migration and international migration, and the international migration has actually increased over the past 5, 6, 7 years, which is a good sign. What we don't know is, you know, how much of that is somewhat temporary. For example, the UW, University of Wisconsin in Madison and Milwaukee have fairly large international populations that come in. And so whether or not they ultimately stay or not, we just don't know that. So the international migration has been growing. It actually has outpaced the domestic migration. So that's been a positive for the state. Whether that's permanent or not, we just don't know.
And you studied the number of residents in Wisconsin who are under 16 and the number who are between ages 50 and 64. Why is tracking these people at the opposite end of the age spectrum important for us?
Well, one of the things that we've tried to do historically is get policymakers to start thinking long term. There's too much short term thinking going on, you know, in both Madison and Washington, et cetera. So we came up with a way to think about our workforce challenge long term, and that's look at the size of the under 16 population versus the size of the 50 to 64 population. Because when you think about it, that older group, in 15 years, most of them are going to retire. They're going to be leaving the workforce. And that younger group is going to be entering the workforce, kind of replacing them. Mm. So you can get a sense then of what are our workforce needs as we go forward. For example,
pause right there with Dale Knapp as our guide. The new report is called Falling Behind, Migration Changes and State Workforce. You can be a part of the conversation, 800-642-1234. News is next on the Ideas Network. We're talking about migration patterns here in Wisconsin. Who will replace baby boomers once they retire? It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Can Wisconsin retain the coveted young millennials as they age into their late 20s and early 30s? That is the question. And recent data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows Wisconsin is struggling by doing this, and that's spelled out in a new report by the Nonpartisan Research Division of the Wisconsin Counties Association. You can join in with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Dale Knapp is our guide. He's director of Forward Analytics. That is the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association, and he authored this report. Let's go back to the phones now with Eric joining us from Waukesha. Hi, Eric.
Hello. I seem to remember a proposal several years back where if you graduated from the UW system and you stayed in Wisconsin and worked in Wisconsin for 10 years or so, they would pay off your tuition. I might be a little off on the details about that. Your operator mentioned some federal program involving public service, but I just wonder if something like that wouldn't be something that would be a worthwhile investment in the economy and motivate people of that age to consider staying.
Eric, thanks so much for the call. Dale, what do we know about that proposal and where it went?
Well, I know there was talk of a proposal like that. The challenge with something like that is that although we do lose a number of college graduates, you know, that's the one group that we struggle with, a much, much larger chunk remains here. And so you've got to figure out a way to make it cost effective, because otherwise, you know, you're spending, you're paying the people who would stay here anyway. You've got to figure out how it's cost effective. But those kinds of proposals are being talked about more and more, you know, as trying to figure out ways to make it attractive, you know, for college graduates to stay here, you know, and we've got to broaden that perspective as well, and not just college graduates, but, you know, workers really across the spectrum at this point. We need low skilled workers, we need medium skilled workers, we need highly educated workers. So we've got to think about proposals, you know, all along the spectrum.
Let's go to Tony now, joining us from Egg Harbor. Hi, Tony.
Good morning. I think there's an economic tsunami that it's going to be headed toward us. And I was born in 1956, and I was in the middle of the baby boomers. And the birth rate today is a fraction of what it was then. And I don't think we're having enough children to sustain a society of 330 million people. So I think this problem is much bigger than Wisconsin. I think it's national. I think it's Western Europe. And as a result of that, I think, and by the time we're into 2030, we're going to see such a drain down in the stock market of people emptying out their 401ks just to live, and we're not replenishing those workers that are not productive any longer, my age group. And I think that this should affect the immigration policy. I think the only winner is going to be the environment, because with less people, we burn less carbon. So, and I think we're headed towards something that we have never seen before in this country.
Tony, with seeing a very diminishing return here, could another economic recession change the situation? And what about diminishing number of people in the workplace?
Right. I think, you know, Tony's right that there is this bigger bigger issue, and again, this has been talked about nationally for decades, in that there's not enough young people. There will not be enough young people paying in to Social Security and Medicaid to pay out the essentially the baby boomers. And, you know, there was just a new report on Social Security and its solvency or lack thereof, that's just came out. So there are these broader issues. Wisconsin is not alone in this. I do think, in terms of any recession is probably just going to, it doesn't, do anything to solve this problem long term. And again, he's right. Birth rates are low and declining. We're not even having enough kids to maintain the population, much less grow it. So,
but a counterpoint to Tony there, Bill from Madison called in to say that for years we've heard about the dangers of overpopulation. So if our population is declining a bit, maybe we should adjust and learn to live with this, since this is good for the environment.
Oh, we're definitely going to have to learn with it or learn to live with it. And we don't need, we don't need to grow our population at, 1%, 2% or, anything rapidly. But most economists would tell you that we need to at least come close to maintaining, our population. And given birth rates, given the demographics, we're at the kind of at the tipping point of whether or not we're going to be able to do that. And part of this, part of the declining birth rates, we're sort of unsure about whether, it looks like baby boomers, for example, have pushed off having families. Now, whether or not in the end, they kind of have as many children as their parents, we just don't know that yet.
You said baby boomers. Did you mean millennials?
I'm sorry. Millennials, yes.
I kind of jumped back to the right generation there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Gen X is kind of hanging out in the middle. What are we to say about this?
Well, they're the younger Gen X are, it seems like, are more like millennials, and the older ones are a little bit more like baby boomers. So it's they're kind of they've become sort of this generation we don't talk about much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Blair now in Madison with thoughts on this. Blair, hi.
Hi. I am that millennial who moved to Wisconsin from a big city out west with my spouse. We came for his schooling and stayed. We bought a house. We have kids. And the thing that is really absent for me here that I miss from out west is more equitable access to political and economic power for people of color. And I wonder, as we think about what's next for Wisconsin, how can we prepare for that?
Blair, thanks for the call. And I'm going to pull back the curtain here. You moved from San Francisco Bay Area. Is that right?
That's right. We moved from Berkeley, and before that, we lived in Queens, New York.
Well, isn't Dale Knapp, isn't Madison called the Berkeley of the Midwest?
It has been called that, yes.
I'm trying to work for Blair here a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to work. You know, what about that, though, in being able to, you know, have a place that speaks to people and what they would like to live their values? And for Blair, it's seeing that diversity.
Yeah. You know, but and Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, historically have not been, you know, very racially diverse. The minority populations historically here have been very small, and they've been generally, you know, most of them are in the historically been in the Milwaukee area, and now we're seeing a growing minority population in Madison area and some others. But you know, Wisconsin, just historically, the Midwest has not been a diverse place in terms of racial mix. That's changing somewhat, and we're trying to figure out how to deal with that. You know, and I think other states are in the same boat, and I think we'll figure it out. But you know, that's another challenge that Wisconsin has to come to grips with.
Well, let's get a perspective from Gordon in Madison now. Gordon, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Gordon. Are you there? You're a millennial, work in Madison. What's your situation?
Yeah, right. So I'm in my early 30s. I would be considered on the higher skilled end of things, and I get a comfortable salary. But in many respects, I think I'm kind of unusual being in Wisconsin, because what I've seen is a lot of my peers have a strong desire to move to California, or to Seattle, or, you know, Silicon Valley, anywhere the big companies, you know, incentivize that thing. And I have very specific reasons for staying here, but I think one of the only ways we're going to combat that, and you start to see it a little bit, is some of these bigger companies starting to offer more work remote options. I think that's going to have to happen, not only to support economies like Wisconsin's, but to sustain California's overwhelmed economy.
Dale Knapp, what do you think about that, having more remote options for workers? Will that help this?
That will help. Again, it's going to go back to broadband and broadband access and where that access is in the state. I believe it's Maine has just started a program where they are offering, and I don't remember the dollar amount, whatever, for people to move to the state to work remotely. So other states are facing similar challenges that we are, and they're trying to move ahead with those kinds of things. But again, that has to be you have to have the infrastructure in place for that in terms of broadband, and again, companies have to be okay with that.
So be on board with it.
There's sort of two ends to this.
Talking about a new report examining changes to Wisconsin's population, raising concerns about our ability to attract people, especially families, to move here. This matters because these children will grow up and they will replace an aging workforce in our state. Dale Knapp is our guide, heads up the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association. His report is called Falling Behind Migration Changes and State Workforce. You can join in 800-642-1234. Perhaps you're a Wisconsin business owner. What gaps are you seeing between your needs and the available workforce? Let's talk about it back in a moment on the Ideas Network. We're looking at our state's demographic data and migration trends here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The problem is Wisconsin isn't the only state trying to attract people of working age. An aging population, declining birth rate are issues straight across the country. We've been talking about them this hour. And so we're tasked with figuring out what makes Wisconsin different, right? What makes us more attractive than, say, Iowa or Illinois or Minnesota or New York or the Bay Area, for that matter? Wisconsin Counties Association is looking at this very critically, looking at changing demographics, millennials, birth rates, job creation. It's out with a new report that we've been talking about. You can join in with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Did you move to Wisconsin from another state or country? What was your reason? What convinced you to come? And what questions do you have about our shifting demographics? Join in by email, ideas@wpr.org. Dale Knapp stays with us. He heads up the research division for the Wisconsin Counties Association, has long studied these demographic trend lines. Dale, lots of people want to talk about this, so let's go back to the phones now with Mark in Green Bay. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I think we need to do much more to attract immigration from abroad. I talk to people in my lunchroom where I work, and they act like immigrants are just somebody that's cutting in front of them in the grocery line or taking food off their children's table. But we desperately need this new blood. What I like about Wisconsin is it's a cosmopolitan, Milwaukee, all the different folk traditions. Why can't we just celebrate that and encourage immigration?
Mark, thanks for the call. What would an influx of migration look like? You know, in the 1980s, we saw an influx of refugees to both Minnesota and Wisconsin. Dale Knapp?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The solution to this problem is got to be very broad. So it's attracting families from other states, but it's also international immigration has to be part of the solution. As I mentioned earlier, we're seeing a little bit more of that international migration. That has to be part of the solution here. The gap between the number of young people we have here and those retiring over the next 15 years is just too big for it to all be solved, with people from other states. So international migration has to be part of the solution as well.
Let's go to Paul in Hurley now. Paul, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I think that one of the best ways to keep young people in Wisconsin and encourage other young people and people generally to move to Wisconsin is to invest in our University of Wisconsin. We could look at the example of Mayor Bloomberg, or former Mayor Bloomberg in New York City, where Mayor Bloomberg decided that New York needed a high-tech university. So the result is a $1.5 billion investment in a high-tech university, Cornell Technion. We could look at his example. If we want to bring young people in, invest in our university. In fact, unfortunately, we've seen in Wisconsin from one of the parties a reduction in funding for the University of Wisconsin. And if one of the parties heaps scorn and contempt on the University of Wisconsin, how are we going to attract young people?
Paul, I want to stop you right there. Dale Knapp, you had seen in your data how Dane County is actually able to retain. I'm wondering if the UW-Madison has an impact on those numbers.
Well, I think there's, the Dane County economy has been vibrant for, quite a long time. And it's a combination of the University of Wisconsin here, state government here, but it's also, booming companies like Epic, et cetera, that have sprouted up around the Madison area that have contributed to that. And I do think that investment in the UW system, in our higher education system, is important. But we already bring significant numbers of people from out of state, from out of the country here. Our problem has been in retaining those people as they graduate. And that's a focus we really need to have. How do we keep them here? Because it appears that historically, once they reach, if we can keep them here, once they reach the age where they're starting families, we have a good shot at retaining them long term. So it's about retaining those young college graduates as they leave the workforce, or as they leave college and enter the workforce. And part of that, industry has to be on board with that. One of the things that we find is pay for college graduates here tends to be quite a bit below the national average, anywhere from 8 to 12% below. So if, you know, if businesses want to hire college graduates, if we want to be competitive with those recent college graduates, pay has to be competitive as well.
Let's go to Barbara now in Madison. Hi, Barbara.
Good morning. I think that we're overlooking something that's critical. It's been identified as the biggest obstacle to women's success, but now it's an obstacle to a state attracting young people who do want to settle, and that's affordable quality childcare. And if we look in both Minneapolis and Chicago, the business community has led both investing themselves and drawing state, advocating and leading for state investment in affordable quality childcare. And we just don't have that happening here.
Barbara, thanks for the call. Childcare, a huge issue. It's the size of a mortgage payment, Dale.
It is. Childcare has become extraordinarily expensive. And it has, you know, it can be a barrier to women or sometimes the men entering the workforce or staying in the workforce. So, again, that's another component here, trying to find ways, make it easier for people to enter the workforce. Childcare is obviously one of those barriers for many people.
Sounds like industries, companies really need to start working hand in hand with their communities, with their local government, in order to craft solutions together.
And I do think we are seeing some of that now. We are seeing some industry groups get together and start, you know, seriously talking about solutions to some of these problems. This is not going to be solved overnight, and so that's why, you know, we should have started talking about this, you know, in serious form 10 years ago. We haven't, so we need to really do that now. And I do think we are seeing industry really starting to get on board because they see the problem as well.
You know, you watch these trend lines come and go. You crunch the numbers, the census data. You are in the thick of this data. What are you going to be watching for this year and next year and the next year?
In terms of the big thing, one of the things we're seeing over the past couple of years, so about 2016-17, we're just seeing some indications that migration is turning some. So I'm going to be looking to see if that's real or if that's a blip. But then I'm going to be looking across the street in Madison to see, you know, if we're serious about solutions to this problem. And I think what we've heard is, you know, in terms of reaction to this, is that we are serious about it. But we'll see what happens in terms of action.
Well, Dale, thank you so much for joining us.
I was glad to be here this morning.
Dale Knapp is Director of Research for the Wisconsin Counties Association. His new report, it just came out, it's called Falling Behind: Migration Changes and State Workforce. It examined Wisconsin's population shifts and raises concerns about our ability to have enough of a labor force once baby boomers retire. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.